Welcome to session two of Be in Health. Today in session two, we're going to talk about the battlefield of the mind. The word either comes to pass or does not come to pass according to our thinking, according to what we believe in our heart and believe in our mind. And to take a look at this, we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6. But before we go there, I just want to remind you that the gifts that we were given by God at the time of the new birth are almost, underline the word almost, unbelievable. And yet they're true. I mean, we sit around and we watch a movie about Jesus Christ and we see him walking through the streets and healing the people. We see him spit upon and tortured and he's forgiving them from the cross. We look at that example and we go, wow. And we should go, wow. And yet the same Spirit of God that filled Jesus Christ from head to toe is the same Spirit that the children of God were filled with beginning on the day of Pentecost. Amazing, amazing, amazing grace. Immortality, grace, Christ in you, the ability to perform miracles, healing, to cast out demons. It's almost too good to be true, and yet that is exactly what the word gospel, the four gospels, that's what the word gospel means. Go forth and preach the gospel. You know what the gospel means? The good news. The almost too good to be true news, but it's true because God Almighty gave it to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. But here's the rub. Because we are surrounded by natural man, and at best, mostly carnal Christian thinking, the battle boils down to this. Do you believe God and what God says you are and what God says about you over the cacophony and the lies of the world? Here, there's always two paths that we can go on every single moment of the day. All throughout the day, we get to go the path of the world, which is orchestrated in its least common denominator by Satan and his minions, who are nothing but pure evil, or go the path of the Word, the words of God. God, who is the inventor of life, who knows how to live it. And by the way, who had a family. It was his idea to have you. You're his kids. It was his idea to have a family. And do you think God Almighty is not going to protect and to provide for His children in every single way, in every scintilla of what they would ever need? Of course He is. But the battlefield is the mind. What are we going to hold on to? What are we going to believe? Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. And please remember Ephesians. Written after the day of Pentecost, written when the new and better covenant came, written after Jesus brought grace and truth to mankind through the better covenant, the new covenant. But to whom is Ephesians addressed? It is addressed to the faithful in Christ Jesus, not the Sunday Christian, not the unbelieving Christian, not the one who plays at churchianity, not the one who says, I read the Bible, but they never believe God for anything. They never see any signs, miracles, and wonders. Honey, if you're really a Christian, guess what? From time to time, you're actually going to look like Christ. Yep, you're actually going to do the works of Jesus Christ. You're going to love like Him. You're going to forgive like Him. You're going to heal like Him. Jesus said the world would know His disciples by our love. And really what that means is our love for God. And honey, if you love God, you believe the things He tells you are true. That this Bible isn't a fairy tale. That this Bible isn't for someone else. That these wonderful things, these nine manifestations, are only for the very elite. I was doing all nine manifestations 2 months into the Word. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but the reason was I simply humbled myself under the mighty hand of God and said, Lord, I believe. If you say it, I'm doing that. Yeah, I'm doing what He says, what the Lord says. God would say, put off lying, and I would go to him and ask him to help me put it off. He'd say, put off these other things. I'd go to him and say, Father, help me put these things off. He would say, put on the mind of Christ, and I'd go to him and say, Father, help me put on the mind of Christ. Help me think like Jesus thought. Help me love like Jesus loved. Help me to have the confidence in you that Jesus had in you. After all, isn't that what Jesus said the work of the Holy Spirit was going to be in John 14? It was going to guide you and lead you and teach you into all things, whatever we needed to know. It was going to be our comforter, our help, meet the one to stand beside us, the paraclete, the one that would be there for us in times of trouble. Well, folks, I don't know about you, but I need that comforter all day standing with me. And in Ephesians chapter 6, I think it's interesting. I just noticed this as I began this session. We hardly ever start in verse 9, but isn't it interesting that the very last phrase in verse 9 of Ephesians 6 says, neither is there respect of persons with him. God is no respecter of persons. The youngest believer who believes can walk in the same power as somebody who's, quote, known the word for 40 years if that person refuses to believe it. You go as far and as fast as you want with God, not because of number of years in the Word, but because of humility of heart, of just casting yourself onto Him and saying, Father, lead me, guide me, help me, teach me. And then Ephesians chapter 6 puts it out there, what we need to see in this battle of health versus disease. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If you try to do any of these things of God in your own power or by your flesh or by your reasoning, man, just your analytical reasoning, cast it down, shoot it, put a piece of tape over its mouth. You do these things by revelation, by ascertaining word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and then the power comes to pass, not because you read your Bible for 15 minutes that morning, but because you believe that the power of the living God resides within you and that He has given you the responsibility and the freedom to operate His power of His might. And so He exhorts us to put on the whole armor of God. What? Have the Word on your head, on your chest, in your loins, on your feet, in your hands, in your heart. Have the Word, the Word, the Word running through your mind. Who you are in Christ Jesus, what God has made you to be in Christ. Why do we need the whole armor? That we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the wiles. He is wily. He will tear you down any way he can. Somebody asked me the other day, and we'll get into this in more detail later, but why is it that if a person knows the Word and has been faithful for years and years, why do they still get sick from time to time? Honey, we live in an imperfect world. Satan can get to anybody. We have to put on the mind of Christ daily, hourly, moment by moment, to withstand the wiles of the devil. Because you know what? Satan has got nothing better to do than to harass you. That is his kingdom, the demons, that is their full-time job, to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet God has given us the enablements to stand, to have a hedge of protection around our life, whenever and wherever we do one thing, what? You got it. Believe. Verse 12. Here it is. I told you in the last session, all life is spirit, but not all life is eternal life spirit. And that man is a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So if you're being attacked, or even if you've got negative thoughts that are bringing you down and keeping you from believing the Word, the genesis of either one of those is demonic, whether you're being specifically attacked by a devil spirit, a demon, or whether you're just thinking the residual of thoughts that Satan has placed in the world that you have logged onto as your own thoughts. That's demonic. There doesn't need to be a demon around to mess up your thoughts if you're hanging on to thoughts whose genesis comes from the dark side, the adversary. Because we just don't ever wrestle against people. It is always a spiritual fight. Always a spiritual fight. always a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, and it's interesting that word wrestle is used there. You know, golf is a very isolated sport. It's a man and his golf clubs and the ball. But wrestling, you know what wrestling is? That is in your face. That is sweaty. That's you smelling the other guy's armpits. I used to hate it when I go to those wrestling matches and see the guy get that headlock under the armpit. I'm like, man, stinky poo. Anyway, God's letting us know that life is a contact sport. And doggone it, he's given you, would you rather go into the wrestling mat naked like they did in Greece, or would you rather go to the mat armored so your opponent can't even get to you? Honey, if you go up against a guy in a loincloth and you've got on a helmet and a breastplate and greaves, those metal things on your shins, and you've got a sword in your hand, who do you think is going to win that match? Satan is always trying to keep stripping you from the armor because he wants you naked. He doesn't want you filled with the fullness of God. He doesn't want you thinking that you are what the Word of God says you are, because then he's got you deceived into stripping you of your armor, and he can get you in a headlock. Because we don't ever wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the what? Darkness, sickness, disease, death, poverty, anxiety, depression, condemnation, guilt, adultery, drunkenness, wickedness, witchcraft. He's the ruler of all that stuff. The genesis of that, those actions or those kinds of thoughts always are going to lead back to the adversary's kingdom. That's why we're supposed to put off those kind of thoughts and actions and put on the armor of light. The rulers of darkness of this world, Cosmokratos, the prince of the power of the air. But remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof when you take a stand. So don't ever forget that. He doesn't rule you, honey. He's trying to tell you he rules you, but he doesn't. I look at the devil sometimes and say, you ain't the boss of me. You're not the boss of me. Get out of here. I belong to Jehovah. I'm his child, his heir, his royal heir. I have all the inheritance that he placed within me in Christ. And when you are faithful, not a wishy-washy, milquetoast Christian, but faithful, this is how you get up and live every day. In the whole armor, because we wrestle against the darkness of this world, against spiritual. It says wicked spirits in your margin, right on, great translation, in high places, arche, exercising their power over all natural man, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, and exercising their power over any believer who legally allows them to come back in and squat in the living room of their mind. Satan has no right over you, and yet his demons are going to try to come in to the living room of your mind and sit on your couch and tear it up and wipe their greasy Cheetos on it and trash your mental house. How do you keep your house in order? The Word, and nothing but the Word. It says in, Psalm 119, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It means David had buried the word so deeply in his heart that when his mind believed a verse, his heart and mind were in sync and he got the prayer answered. To hide the word in your heart doesn't mean you never look at it. It means it's so buried like a treasure that no thief can come in and steal it from the safety of your heart. Wow. You might want to put that verse on your mirror. And because of that, God gives us the antidote. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And that is right now. This isn't the future. That is today. To yom. And having done all, do what? Stand. Because we just never wrestle against flesh and blood. The battles in this life are always spiritual, first and foremost. And so we have to be disciples. You know that Jesus never told anybody to go out and make converts? Converts are the most weak, milquetoast Christians on earth. You can't tell the difference between them and the rank unbeliever who's getting beat about the ears. All Jesus ever told his disciples and apostles to do was to go out and make more disciples. You know what the word disciples indicates? Discipline. I don't know why on God's green earth we think we have to be disciplined in our work. We have to, you know, if they say go at 8 and come home at 5, you know what you do? You go in at 8 and come home at 5, or you're probably going to lose your job. We realize we have to be disciplined to play sports. I had to be disciplined when I was a painter doing my artwork, my fine art. Why on God's green earth do we think we don't have to be disciplined in the Word? That's the only thing we can just do willy-nilly. We can read a verse here and there, walk around filling our mind with bad news, negative talk, negative thinking, and somehow this Word is supposed to work for us? That'd be like me picking up a tennis racket and going out and saying at 61 with no training, I can go out and beat the number one tennis player in the world. Are you at 50 or 60 saying you could be the quarterback for what's a team? The New York Jets, is that still a team? I don't even know. And that you could take them to victory. It's insanity. The great thing is the discipline of the Word doesn't depend on age or muscle tone, except for one muscle, the mind. The mind, exercising the mind to do one thing, honey, to hold the Word and to hide it down in your heart so that you can stand against the wiles of the wiliest, wily coyote of them all, Lucifer. The counterfeit angel of light that tries to make sin look so good, and sin is so painful. Even things that you think feel good while you're doing them, they either give you a hangover, they make you sick, they make you addicted, or they give you guilt when you're done. How much fun is that? I know Dr. Wirral used to call them kicks that kick back. Why do we stick our head in the... Just right out there and say, Satan, kick me in the head. Just come on, kick me in the head again. God didn't give us how to live like Jesus Christ to put us in bondage, folks. He gave us how to live like Jesus Christ to set us free. So that things would work out for us, to set us free. But we have to work our minds to believe God and to believe God in spite of what the world says, or the pain we are experiencing when it comes to health, or when it comes to our health, the doctor's dire prediction. We got to hold the Word above the world. Because every problem has a spiritual root. So guess what? Every problem has a spiritual solution. And the solution is the power of God believed. To take that match, to set it to that piece of dynamite called Holy Spirit that resides within your body, and boom, to unleash the power of the living God in your life. That is the battlefield of the mind. That is where the battles in life are won or lost between our ears. Because man is a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And the most powerful part of your being is not your body, is not your soul. It's your spirit. That is where the power resides. That's the power base. That's the part that's like Jesus Christ. It says in Hebrews 12:23 that when you're born again, that it is the spirit of just men who have been justified by Christ, made what? Perfect. Therefore, there's nothing you can do to make your spirit better except believe what you've got in it. The power of the living God. The power to change. The power to renew your mind, to believe God over all else. Even that is assisted by our spirit. And so, my friends, here it is. All life is spiritual. All the battles in our life are spiritual, and they're won or lost on the battlefield of our mind. Do you know there's not one miracle that's been done in the Bible that you can't do in this day and age? None of those miracles are off the table. Think about that. And so in this class on healing, in the final analysis, healing includes all three: spiritual first, mental, and then physical. That's the pecking order. The power to be healed comes from our spirit. The power to unleash it comes from our mind, and we receive it in our physical body. You know, even scientific research has found that 95%, this is scientifically proven, 95% of all disease comes from the mind. They name it stress, but where does stress come from? The mind. 95% of all disease, and I'm not talking about a broken bone or when you have a car wreck and, you know, you're messed up because of that, although your mental state of mind may get you into the car wreck or cause you to have the broken bone. But the disease that manifests in our body, 95% of all disease comes from our mind. I'm not talking about being a hypochondriac, thinking that you're sick and not being sick. But I'm talking about actual physical disease comes from, they have proven this scientifically, from toxic beliefs in a person's mind / heart. What kind of beliefs? Fear. Anxiety. Anxiety and fear, they're so closely related you can't really separate them because one is the noun and the other is the manifestation of it. Fear, anxiety, worry, unforgiveness, self-loathing, guilt, a critical and bitter mindset, those actually produce poisons from your brain into your autonomic nervous system, and they will go to the weakest part of your body and begin to destroy it, to eat away as doth a canker. Remember, that's what Paul said in Timothy about, who was it, Philetus and Hymenaeus or somebody like that, their words were going to eat as doth a canker, a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus, I think. Words eat like cancer. Words that we believe often produce cancer. They produce other diseases, tumors and heart disease, hardening of the arteries. You're like, Peg, have you lost your mind? No, this is research, honey. I can't give you all the books I've read on it, but they're out there. And those toxic thoughts produce toxins in the body, which then produce sickness and disease. Well, ultimately, where do the toxic thoughts come from? Satan. He's the one that brings fear into the world. He's the one that wants you filled with anxiety, to worry, to be unforgiving, to be bitter, to be a backbiter. That comes from him. So the root, this is why I said in session one, the root of all sickness is spiritual, not only because Adam led it into the world, but because the root is spiritual. It's from negative spiritual thinking. Thinking Satan's kind of way instead of God's way. Where it says in Proverbs that God's word is health to your navel. You know where what the navel is? That's how you got life in the first place. If you didn't have that umbilical cord in the when you were in the embryo inside your mommy, you wouldn't have had life. Your life came from your navel. And marrow to your bones. You ever heard of somebody needing a bone marrow transplant? Because your bone marrow produces all your blood and all the other good stuff you need to live. Look at Proverbs 3, please. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 7. It says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Wow, pride goes before the fall, a haughty spirit before destruction. Fear the Lord. Be in awe of God. Say, look at God in your heart and go, "Oh, God, you're awesome. Yes, God, your way is the right way. I want to follow your way." And depart, it says in Proverbs, and depart from evil. Every evil thought, every evil way. Can you do that on your own? No. That's why God gave you Holy Spirit. One of the myriad of reasons why he gave you the Comforter, the Paraclete, that thing within you to stand alongside and encourage you, to comfort you, to be your greatest cheerleader, to help you. You're never alone, honey. You always are with God and with Jesus and with an innumerable company of angels, and you can tap into that comfort in your spirit anytime, 24/7, 365. Because what happens when we tap into the Comforter? It shall be health to thy navel, where your life comes from, and marrow to thy bones, where your life and your health are produced. Here you go. Here's a news flash. Trusting in God brings good health. Man, if you didn't want any, if there was no other reason, don't you want to be healthy? Don't you want to be filled with health? Isn't that alone other, you know, God's given us over 900 promises in the Word, but how about this one? This is a biggie-wiggy, not a teensy-weensy. This one's a biggie-wiggy. Trusting in God produces good health. Be in health. Be in health. Or if you're not in health, trust in God to get your gift of healing. And if necessary, your gifts of healing. Why? It is presently available. Man, it blows my mind that God's promises are like big old ripe apples, so heavy they're weighing down the branch of the tree. All you got to do is reach out and pick it. And day after day, I watch Christians walk by, da-doop-da-doo, don't pick that beautiful promise, and just go on their way and wonder why their life is racked and ruined, because they just don't turn to God for the fruit, the goodness of His promises. Proverbs 7:22, look at this one. Proverbs 17:22, one of my favorite verses. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You know what happens when you watch TV all the time or read the newspaper or hang around negative people? Man, it dries you up from the inside out. It makes you sick. You know why Satan has taken over the airwaves and TV and internet are so filled with negative, 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 negative? Because that's exactly what he wants in people. Dried up bones, dried spirits, broken spirits, dried bones, sickness and disease. You know what happens when you stay in the Word and you read, man, God chose me before the foundation of the world. Wow, He's given me His Spirit as a token, as a down payment that Christ is coming back. Wow, every time I speak in tongues, it is proof positive that I'm filled with the Spirit of the living God. You know what that does? It makes you merry. It makes you happy. It gives you joy, joy, joy down into your what? Into your bones. What thought path would you rather stay on throughout the day? People, I'm at the place where I can look at some earth-shattering, devastating news on the TV and it doesn't even faze me. I may think about it, I may pray about it, I may ask God to intervene in the situation, but it doesn't dampen my mood. One of the ways you'll know your mind is renewed is you can take in bad news without a feeling of rejection or destruction or defeat. When you look at the news and the first thing, man, is your chin is hanging down to your kneecaps and woe is me and the world's going to heck in a handbasket and oh man. How is that believing God? You're just walking right into the broken spirit that's going to dry up your bones. When you're walking in faith, Moses could stand at the Red Sea. He could see the sea in front of him and Pharaoh behind him, and it was nothing but a chicken wing. God had said He was going to deliver those people, and he believed and trusted in the living God, and it didn't even break a sweat with Moses. You know, believing God never broke a sweat with Moses. It was dealing with the people that gave him fits. It was dealing with their unbelief that gave him fits. Believing God was backstroke for him, easy peasy. And that's why staying in the Word, in your mind, in your heart, is critical to living the more abundant life. Can't do it without that. Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus is talking about he that believeth in Him, Jesus, and is baptized in Him. What does the word baptizo mean? It means to stay immersed, to be immersed, to be immersed. Talking about baptizing Christ means to be immersed in the truths regarding Jesus. When you're baptized in Jesus initially, you believe that He was the Son of God and God raised Him from the dead. You become immersed in that belief and boom, head have to believe it in, confess it in your mouth, that's in your head, and believe it in your heart. You're immersed. in that belief. Well, guess what? Newsflash, you're supposed to live immersed in what Jesus accomplished. You're supposed to live immersed in Jesus' thoughts, believing God, trusting God, claiming your heirship, claiming your sonship, knowing that you have the righteousness of God within you, knowing that you have been redeemed and made whole and at one, atoned, brought back into relationship with God, knowing that you're sanctified by Christ, set apart from the world to live a new and better life. And when you think like that, you are saved, sozo, on a daily basis. What does that mean? You're made whole on a daily basis. You're healed on a daily basis. You're walking in revelation on a daily basis. You're walking by the Spirit on a daily basis. Do you think you put this armor of God on one day and it lasts you for the week? Honey, it may not even last till lunchtime. We have to keep putting on the armor of God, putting on the right thoughts of God, putting on the believing of who we are in Christ, walking in our inheritance in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, that brings us to the $50,000 jackpot question. What holds us back from receiving? We're going to look at the negative and then we're going to hammer the positive. Well, in its least common denominator, what holds us back from receiving is simply unbelief. It says in Hebrews that all these promises God had given the Israelites in the wilderness, they could not receive because they did not mix them with believing. They did not mix them with faith, believing. In the Old Testament, it's believing because faith came with Jesus Christ. They didn't have the faith of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. They had faith by measure. They had the Spirit by measure. We have the fullness of everything that God put in Jesus bodily, it says in Colossians. We have the faith of Jesus in us. But if we don't mix it with our believing, boom, we pour water on the dynamite. And unbelief issues in fear, doubt, and worry. And fear, doubt, and worry issue in more unbelief. It's a vicious circle. Other little tangential things that keep us from receiving are things like mental thought patterns of bitterness and unforgiveness. I passed them. I talked about them in the past few minutes. They dry up your bones. They break down your spiritual connection. Whereas the merry heart, the forgiving heart, the loving heart does good like medicine, spiritual medicine. And you know what happens when you're merry, when you're loving, when you're forgiving, when you're thinking about who you are in Christ and you're happy about who you are in Christ Jesus? That literally produces healing enzymes, wooka, 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 like little oil cans in the mind that send healing enzymes into your bloodstream and into the deep cellular level of your physical body. Scientifically proven. And what's one of the other big things that keeps us from receiving is literally the unbelief with which we're surrounded. Just people saying, oh, you're one of those believers? God can't do that. Or you've been sick 12 years. Why would God heal you now? We're going to talk about that in another session. What happens if you've been sick a really long time? God has the spiritual answer and the deliverance for us too. This unbelief, you know, it says when Lot lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, it says it wore down his righteous spirit. That word is the word basanizo. You know what basanizo is? In the old days, we talked about something called the Chinese water torture. And the Chinese had a torture they used where they would strap somebody down to a table and they would let a bucket of water drip on their forehead. Drip, 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 right in the middle of their forehead. Well, the first minute, it doesn't bother you. 2 or 3 minutes into it, that constant drip on the frontal lobe of your brain, you're twisting. You're turning, you're trying to get out of what's holding you back, trying to get out of the straps. After that thing drips for about a half a day, first of all, it's dripping a hole into your skin and through your skull. but it's making you crazy as a bed bug. They found that they could get more done, more people to talk under that torture than any other torture. Just the constant drip, drip, drip. Remember the wiles of the devil. The drip, drip, drip of the devil. That's why when you look back at the prophets in the Old Testament, you see these people that did these phenomenal things. They all had their Achilles heel. They all had areas where they fell. We don't focus on that, but we recognize nobody's perfect 100% of the time. The only believer who did it right every day, all day, is Jesus. And like I said, that's the goal. And if I get 50% of that, wowie, wow, wow, wow. If I get 70, better. If I get 80, even better. But that's why I just don't beat myself to death when I fall short in an area. I dust my knees off, I get back up on my bicycle, and I start riding again. We are all going to fall short of the glory of God. That's why we need the Savior. That's why we need the Spirit working in us. But we don't lay down our arms and quit. I looked up faint the other day, and I think there were like 21 uses of faint not. You'll have to look it up. And don't count me, you know, don't call me up and say, Peg, you're wrong. There's only 17 uses. But there were a bunch about us not fainting. Not fainting. Okay, am I going to walk perfectly like Jesus? No, but my goal is to get as close as I can. And so what triggers so many of these things? The unbelief, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the doubt, the worry. In the least common denominator, it's usually F-E-A-R, that four-letter word, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Fear, fear, fear. Fear is really the believer's greatest enemy. Fear is sand in the machinery of life. Man, wherever you got fear in an area, it is going to gum up the works. You get rid of the fear, man, you start walking in faith again, you're hitting on all cylinders. Proverbs 29:25 has a very illuminating truth. It says, the fear of man brings a snare. Wherever you feel snared or held back in life, look to fear. But thank God the antidote is in the same verse. It's always in the same verse. But whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Fear is going to bring a snare. It's going to trip you up. It's going to hold you back from receiving the promises of God. But when you put your trust in the Lord, you are safe, home, free. The promise is manifested, and wow, you are blessed and you have the victory. But ladies and gentlemen, when and where we have fear, we cannot have believing faith. You know, so many of us have been taught not to believe in miraculous healing, that when we even go to pray or minister or believe for it, we're full of fear. What if it doesn't happen? And you know what I say to all you folks out there that says, what if it doesn't happen? What if it does? What if you reach out and minister and it does happen? So you know what? You can unlearn that lie. You can believe what the Word says over what your past experience shows you. And the other thing is, the power of the living God has pretty much been lost in our society. I don't think signs, miracles, and wonders even came back to the forefront of any level of Christianity till the 1940s, when Oral Roberts came along with his miraculous healing crusades, or maybe a little bit before that with the Azusa Mission and healers like Amy Simple McPherson and a few others. But by and large, it's a world of rank unbelievers. And you know what? Even from the vast majority of Christian pulpits around the world, you have the clergy in there telling you God killed a little child because he needed a rose petal in heaven. You have people telling you God gave you cancer to make you humble. The people who are supposed to be the ministers and the pastors leading the sheep are taking them down the gateway to hell. And God says in the Old Testament, woe to you pastors. Woe to those pastors. And other people just allow their personal experience to take preeminence over the Word of God. Well, I feel bad and I prayed for myself and it didn't work, so I quit. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, here's that word error, E-R-R again, error. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. When we don't know that we know that we know, both in our mind and in our heart, the scriptures and the power. Not just the scriptures, but the scriptures and the power, meaning we're mixing it with believing. We're in error. Well, how do you get out of error? You do them both. You know the scripture and you mix it with believing, so you release the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, experience is no guarantee for truth. The guy that sold you the radio that worked for 2 days and went dead, he was sincere. Sincerity is no guarantee for truth. Experience is no guarantee for truth. The preacher that's out there telling everybody that God gives you cancer to humble you is sincere. But that's no guarantee for truth. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. You hear the doctor's sincere. Who's telling you can't get well? Well, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to trust? The doctor or the Lord God Almighty? Folks, when we abandon ourselves to the Word of God, when we abandon ourselves to the Word of God, it will become real. There's a commercial that used to be on TV. It showed a guy sweating and all this other stuff. He was steaming hot from the summer day. And he falls back into this cool swimming pool and just goes, ah. And it said, take the Nestea plunge. Many times when I'm praying for something, I picture that promise being the Nestea plunge. I just see myself falling back into the promise of God. I just see myself going, ah, that's what God says. I believe it. I take the plunge into His Word. I abandon myself into God's Word. And it becomes living and real to me, and boom, I light the stick of dynamite and I get the result. Kratos, Zeusia, power released from my spirit. I get myself out of fear and into faith. You know, fear not is used 365 times in the Bible. You know what that gives us? One for every day of the year. You know what fear is? You can feel it. Fear is an unpleasant emotion. Now, if you put your hand on a hot stove, that's reality. If you see a big old copperhead snake getting ready to bite you, that's reality. But 99% of the time, it's not even real. It's something running around in the cells of our brain. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is likely to be dangerous, likely to cause pain or embarrass you, or be a threat. Fear is a state of mind. Now, there's a very small percentage of fear. Like I said, burning fire, wild rattlesnake, those are reasons, those are rational fears. But 99% of the fears running through every human being's brain are irrational. And they produce dread. And they produce fright and apprehension and anxiety and cause us to feel alarm on the inside. Ding, 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 ding. Kick in that fight or flight syndrome. Because, ladies and gentlemen, fear is believing. Fear is believing. It is negative believing. It is the faith of Jesus Christ in reverse. And here you have it. What you continually fear will come upon you. It is a law. You will receive it eventually. Job 3:25 says, the thing that I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come to pass. It said that Job went in and prayed every day fearing that his children had disobeyed God, fearing that his children were going to be cursed. What did he do? He lost all of his kids. And that which he greatly feared came upon him, and that which he was afraid of came to pass. We read earlier, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of man brings a snare. It traps you. It enslaves you. But look at Psalm 34, 4. Here's the antidote. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from ALL. How many? He can deliver you from every fear that's ever plagued you, every fear that's encased you. This is another form of healing, of being delivered from the fear that has encased you, sometimes from the time you were a child or a baby. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He healed me. And He delivered me from what? ALL. All my fears. All my fears. Man, do you want to be delivered from all your fears? Then guess what? Seek the Lord. It says in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12, don't say a confederacy. Go down to the last part. Neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. Again, the drip, drip, drip of other people's negativity. The drip, drip, drip of everybody else's fear. That's why I try to put myself in the habit daily. If I confess one negative, I just try to push pause and confess three positives from the Word that will counter that. I don't want to get negative, negative, a diet in my mind. Oh, I feel so bad. My hip hurts. This hurts. I'm so poor. Okay, maybe you have those needs, but say, my God's going to provide all my need. My God has healed me in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago. Does that mean you can never open your mouth and say what your need is? No, but it means you can express your need in a positive way. Okay, I don't feel good, but I'm trusting God. He's healing me as I speak. Hey, my checkbook needs more money in it, but my God says He's going to supply all my needs through His riches in Christ Jesus. You can confess that need and make it known, but make it known in a positive way, expecting God to deliver you. And that's why it says in Isaiah 8:13, to sanctify the Lord of hosts in Himself, and let Him be your awe. Let Him be your dread is a terrible translation. It means that which inspires you. How do you lift it up? I know that's what it's saying because verse 14 says, and He shall be for a sanctuary. Man, oh man, He's going to be your sanctuary. He's going to be where you can lay your head and rest. You know what sanctuary was? When you had sanctuary, you went in that city and no enemy could enter and touch you. They were required by the Old Testament law to give you food and shelter and drink and protection. That was a sanctuary. When we lift up the Lord in our heart, He's our sanctuary. See, the battlefield of the mind. The battlefield of the mind. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. It's not enough to know this stuff. You have to apply this stuff. It's not enough to know it. You got to put it in application. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God, the true God, has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, push pause. Then everywhere I have fear, anxiety, dread, trepidation, ruling my thoughts, the spiritual genesis is Satan. We're going to see in future sessions, Jesus destroyed the power of the devil. So if we have that anxiety, that fear in our mind, it ain't coming from God. It's coming from some place where we have been legally, boy, I hope you keep legal in your mind through this whole class. We have been legally in a court of law in the spiritual throne room of God's grace. We have been legally set free from every power of the devil, including fear. God has given us power, love, and sound thinking. Those things come from God. Power, dunamis, the dynamite, not sitting in there, but lit. boom, exploding in your life. That's what God's given us, the power to deal. He's given us agape, unconditional love towards us. Unconditional love towards us. And what? Sound thinking. Fear, irrational fear. Again, take away those few fears that are rational, which are you don't stick your hand in a fire, you know, you don't run out in the middle of a high traffic street, you know, you're not going to grab a rattlesnake, I don't care what you think the Bible says, because it's going to bite you. Those are, you know, those are preservation. God has delivered us from every irrational fear, which make up about 99% of the fears that run through our mind. He has given us sound thinking, sound thinking, sound mind. When we're not there, we need to get still. We need to unplug. We need to sit still. We need to meditate upon His Word. We need to sanctify the Lord, lift Him up in our hearts so that He can be our sanctuary. And if we don't get it right away, we keep pressing and pressing and pressing until we do get it. Look at 1 John chapter 4, please. You know, folks, if you don't deal with the adversary, he is going to eat you for lunch and pop the bag. We have to deal with our thought life. We have to think about what we're thinking about. John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. It says right above that, that as Jesus is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love when we're putting on the mind of Christ. When we are believing we are who and what the Word of God says we are, that is when we bring God's Word to pass. That is when we manifest that perfect health that is health to our navel, marrow to our bones. That is when we manifest mental health. God doesn't want us in fear. Why? Because it says in verse 18, duh, fear has torment. God never wanted us to be tormented in this world. He wanted us to be as His Son, to walk above the fray of this world, and He's given us the power to do it. And He's given us the power to do it. And it says in verse 4 in the same chapter, you are of God, little children, His children, and you have overcome them. What? The fears, the negatives, the diseases, the doubts of this world, all instigated by demons. Why? Why? Because greater is He, Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.